I think in terms of, I will just introduce myself. I'm Dr. Dos Santos from the Loma Linda University and School of Public Health, and then we deal with preventive care mostly and prevention. And one thing that we have to be careful is, and I will finish with this, walk the talk. If we want to influence kids, we have to walk the talk. Cannot preach to kids and stay sitting there and say, hey, go outside and play. It's not going to work. So whatever we do, we have to do that. And we are gonna start with some epidemics here, some statistics, and then we will go to several different, I would say, areas. But walk the talk is going to be on each one of them. If we talk about school, if you talk about community, ooh.
It's okay, I'm just sitting down.
Yeah, I talked about something else, so it was you.
Yeah, it's okay, it's just
yeah.
Right there.
Or the church or the home. Maybe I should put in the reverse. We should start at home, then school, then church, then community. And wherever, but we have to have these models because children are influenced by us, either by us or by somebody. So they will be influenced by something. So again, I am Dr. Dos Santos, Loma Linda University School of Public Health, and I will start this now that we have the main group here. I will start with, we will have some case studies here, and I need your input in some of them. The first case study is my own. I used to be chubby, and my nickname in Brazil was Gordinho, or Gordito in Spanish, or little chubby in English. And then I have a friend that came from Brazil. He is here now, and he visited me, and he said, hey, Gordo, how are you? I say, my goodness, it's a long time since someone called me. Yeah, you know, we have some friends there from Brazil. I'm still a little chubby, but I was very, very, very big. Why was that? I was the center of attraction because I was in a party, and everybody will call, you eat a lot, huh? Oh, my goodness, how can you eat? And I feel very important with that. And sometimes kids need this something for them to be special. And that's what happened. Until I figured out that I was really fat and fit, could not run, could not do anything, and that was not good. When I was about 16 or 17, I came across the Adventist Health books. Minister of Healing, Counselors on Health, Counselors on Diet and Foods, Temperance. And this changed my life. Simply reading those books changed my life. And I lost weight. Simple things. I became vegetarian, lacto-ovo-vegetarian, 3 meals a day only, daily exercise, lots of fruits and vegetables, nuts, Brazil nuts, the best, okay? Sugar and sweets. We still eat, we used to eat sweets, but only as desserts, no snacks. So we follow a little bit on the health and temperance. So what are the lessons that we got from that? First, we should expose our children to our health inheritance. When the message came to Brazil, we only have this message. Don't eat pork meat. Don't eat unclean fish. Do not smoke and drink. And that was that. I remember one of the first pastors in Brazil that was a Brazilian pastor was cousin of my grandfather, José Amador dos Reis. And he died with 37 years old. He was a very good missionary, but he was not taking care of his health. This is the health message only. He would not sleep well. He would not eat whatever. He would. I mean, we are from the south. We have some friends from the south also, and we eat. We used to eat a lot of meat. Meat in the is the gaucho, South American cowboys, the gauchos. Meat is in the breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Dry meat or beef jerk, whatever we call. So this guy died early. This cousin of mine, and was the first pastor, ordained pastor in Brazil. Why? He could be alive, not until today, but he could live a little longer if he took care of his health. Maybe he didn't know, or maybe the message went there a little crooked. I mean, this guy, well, let's not talk about meat here because nobody will accept the message. Probably was that. It's like you go to Texas and they say, well, you have to be vegetarian. They will look at you, well, if I am vegetarian, I'm not Texan anymore. Or I'm not Caribbean anymore, or I'm not Portuguese anymore, or I'm not whatever, you are Martinique anymore. Well, but the lesson here is that I like to make is, I think we should have Ellen White books in our school curriculum.
Absolutely.
And this will make a difference. I met a public school teacher 2 weeks ago, and she was saying that she's reading Ellen White. She's Adventist, and she works in a public school, and she brings Ellen White books there and use as a literature to teach English. And then when they go to the contents, so why we should not eat meat? I mean, so constructing the words or the phrases and the paragraphs, she was underlining the message. So it's something that we could present. So let's talk about statistics now. 17% of children and adolescents aged 2 to 19 are obese in this country. One of seven low-income preschool age is already obese. So it's getting to be preschooling now. Childhood obesity has more than tripled in the past 30 years in this country. And it came from 7% in 1980 to 20% in 2008 among the 6 to 11 years old. And among the 12 to 19 years old, it went from 5% to 18%. So this is the main argument that this business here is not hereditary. Even though some physicians are saying, well, it's hereditary, but it's too fast to be hereditary. Hereditary thing, it has a trait, and are those, I'm not sure if you know, in the past when you were young, I mean, we have one or two that were shabby. Most of us were skinny. So most of this was, on that time, was hereditary. Even though, I remember, I have a family close to my house in Porto Alegre, south of Brazil. And the kids were very shabby. And the parents were very shabby. Fat? And the dogs are very fat. Oh, excuse me. Something is the genes are passing to the dogs, so kind of impossible. In 2008, more than one-third of children and adolescents were overweight or obese. So this is the main statistics here. So 30% of our kids are overweight or obese. And how many of our adults are overweight and obese here in the States? 99 now. Not yet. Yeah, well, the is almost 70%. 70%, 68 point something. So we are getting in big trouble here. And they said that now is flattening up the rates of the obesity. So that's the new statistics that's saying that this year is the same as last year, so it's not going up. But we still have to see what's going to happen in the years to come. Any questions?
It was saying from the report just yesterday that by 2030,
Yeah, that's what they are foreseeing. It is gonna be. It's gonna be. If we continue like that, we will have a big problem in this country. And the same thing with smoking, not in this country but in the world. If we continue the rates of smoking in the other countries, we will reach a proportion of smokers in the world and a proportion of lung cancer that is gonna be the main thing. So I believe lung cancer with diabetes will be competing, because we are growing up with smoking and we are growing up with weight around the world. It's not just in the United States. So here we see the statistics among low-income children from 2 to 4 years. And then we have this, the slide is not very good to show you, but the rates of obesity on low-income children in the states are here. So most of the states have a rate of 10 to 15% of obesity in this population, according to the states. So we have two here that are less than between 5 and 10%. Which states are that? This is... Is there any American here? Colorado. And this one is... I think one is Colorado. No. This is Utah and Colorado, it might be.
Oh, Texas.
Texas is here. How many are Americans here? Just two. My goodness. I should change my lecture to another. But I mean, the states on the East Coast and Texas and California are the worst here. And then this one, I don't know which one is.
South Dakota.
So, you see? Things are getting complicated. So here we have the states that increase obesity rates in children 10 to 17 in 2007. So fortunately, we have some states here that decrease the rates. North Dakota, Wisconsin, Iowa, and New Mexico, they decrease. But most of the states are increasing rates of childhood obesity. So the epidemic is tremendous. And I don't know where we are going to stop on that. And I don't know what is going to be the change, because the trend is that they are all bragging that heart disease in the country is going down. But with these indices here, with these rates, probably this will be reversed in a couple of years, because with this comes a lot of problems that we are going to see now. Well, this is the obesity in adults around the world. So countries that have higher, more than 30 to 40% of the population obese. And so Brazil is there, huh? I didn't know that we are that obese. And Chile also. I went to Chile 1 year ago to do a lecture on childhood obesity in our university. And I did the whole week for them. And I was wondering why they have this epidemic of childhood obesity in Chile. Then I figured out Chile is a Xerox copy of America, because it is the South American country that has more ties with the United States. And not only business tie. I went to a shopping mall. They have 3 ice cream stores close to each other. It's not one, it's 3. And then they have McDonald's, they have Pizza Hut, they have KFC, they have whatever you call they have there.
American stuff.
And so they are, the children are getting a little chubby. So we have other countries here that are represented. One that is getting there is very low is China. But China is interesting. If you cut China, I was working in China for 6 years. If you cut China in half, you have West China and East China. West China is poor. They don't have food. And they don't have childhood obesity because they have malnourishment. But in the East China, that is where they have Shanghai, Hong Kong, Beijing, they eat a lot. And the children are getting overweight. So this rate is still good. But if you cut that, you see the big cities are becoming American style. It's so interesting that there is a guy, Dr. Frank Hu, from Harvard. And he was in Hong Kong, and I attended his lecture. And he was showing, reporting what happened in Beijing. He was invited to go to Beijing to talk about childhood obesity. And he said, we have to be careful with McDonald's, KFC, Pizza Huts, and American business. We have to be careful with that because we'll bring childhood obesity, and Chinese, our children are becoming obese. This guy is Chinese descendant, works in Harvard, went to Beijing. After he finished the presentation, the communist leader surrounded him and asked, what are you talking about? We came from famine in this country. We didn't have food. Now we have food. We want more restaurants. We want more Western restaurants. We are eager to have more food. What are you talking about that this is not good? You see? They don't understand, but we don't understand either. We, as health professionals or missionaries, we don't understand that also. We go to those countries, and what we do there. There is a mission trip to Africa, and the guy said, he went to church, in my church, and so we want to go to church, and we want to raise money for the church to pay for our tickets and to buy some candies for the kids. So what? And that's it. We bring the wrong message. We bring the Western world goes to those places and say, well, you are malnourished. We will give you more food. And we give the wrong food, the wrong idea of food. So they transition from malnourishment to overnourishment. They transition to that infectious disease, to diabetes and chronic disease. And so that is happening across the world. In your country, it's happening now. So we have to do something about that. Because this is the situation. And when I talk to these guys, I say, well, why do you go to Africa? But bring soccer balls and bring jumping ropes and things like that. And then I will give you money for you. But not to buy candy, excuse me. But anyways.
That's what I tell my wife about my grandkids.
But I do exercise, Mom. I surf the net. So that's the concept of exercise. If we don't control this, what's going to happen? We already have a diabetes epidemic. What is happening among kids? One kid in 400 have diabetes in this country. 215,000 diabetics under the age of 20 years old. Most of children with diabetes are overweight, so the relationship is there. Main cause of heart disease and stroke, 68% of diabetes-related deaths, are for heart disease. 68% of adult diabetes have high blood pressure. So what we are putting our kids, this is the future of our kids, is the leading cause of blindness and kidney failure. In 2006, we have 65,000 amputations in people with diabetes. 60 to 70% of diabetics have a form of nervous system damage. So So that's what I get a little passionate when I talk about that. Because we are sitting there watching TV, oh, kids are getting overweight, okay, yeah. And some moms are still thinking that this is okay. We set up a program for childhood obesity and we invite the community. And you know, nobody show up. We have one family. And then we will ask why. And they said, no, our kids are okay. They are fat. No, our kids are okay. So still we have the concept that, well, be chubby is healthy. But that's not the case. Childhood obesity continues to increase. Epidemic has risen over 30 years. It's a global problem. 20% of adolescents in the United States are children and adolescents are chubby. This is 20% that are obese. 30% are overweight and obese, as we mentioned in the beginning. 22 million under 5 overweight worldwide. It's not a problem. It's not an American problem only. 22 million under 5 years old are overweight worldwide. Can you believe that? That's terrible. Okay, now for you to know a little bit on these charts, how we classify a child on obesity or overweight. So normally we use this growth chart and they have the years. This is from 2 to 20 years. And they have to be in the middle of this curve here. We put the child's BMI here. We have to know their weight and their height. And we put here, and then we go and see what after we know the height and the BMI, we have to do a formula for that. If the BMI falls onto this part and this part, that is the 85 percentile, we consider overweight. If it's beyond or below to 85, is normal weight. If it is above the 95 here. So if in this situation here, the kid will be considered obese. So we just need to calculate the BMI, that is the weight of the kid over the height squared height. So it's a simple formula. If you are good in math, I am not. But if you are not, I mean, you just put use your calculator, as the kids do. Or ask the kids to do that for you. Okay, so this is just an example for you to have an idea how they calculate that. Children and adolescents are obese at greater risk of bone. So what's the problem for them directly? Bone joint problems, sleep apnea, social and psychological problems such as stigmatization and poor self-esteem. So I was stigmatized and I thought that I was good because I was chubby, but you cannot imagine how many problems we have when we are chubby. It's good when you are eating, you feel good, but your friends start making fun of you. Gordito and gordo, you cannot run, you are too slow, gordo, in such a way that gordo is a, you in Spanish is a cussing. You call gordo, you are setting up for trouble. In Brazil, I don't know if it's much, but in some cultures, it became a very bad name. Okay, how about the risk as adults? Type 2 diabetes, stroke, several types of cancer, osteoarthritis. Children who became obese at the age of 2 were more likely to be obese as adults. We are going to go back to that. Overweight for children at 6 years old. Compared to the non-overweight peers, have 10 times the risk of becoming overweight as adults if they are overweight at 6. If they are overweight at 10, the risk is 20 times. Can you believe that? If you have a child that is 10 years old overweight, 20 times the risk of becoming overweight an adult. So I think I am here. I'm still a little in the borderline there. And because I start to be chubby at 10 years old, what is not good. So we have to prevent that as much as possible, because the consequences might last for your long life. Okay, overweight and obesity are associated with, this is the worst thing that will happen to the kids, because we are setting up kids to this. Cancer of the breast, colon, endometrium, esophagus, kidney, pancreas, gallbladder, thyroid, ovary, cervix and cervical cancer and prostate cancer, as well as multiple myeloma and Hodgkin's lymphoma. This is done by this guy, Cushy et al., from American Cancer Society. Even in my class, I didn't include all of this cancer related to obesity because this is very new. Well, not that much, 2006. But you see, All of these are the future of our children. Shouldn't we do something about that? So this is a summary of what we should do. Neurological, psychological problem, pulmonary, sleep apnea, digestive. You know what is GERD? Does anybody know what's GERD? Gastroesophageal reflux disease. So it's the fact that the person has heartburn or azia for us. And you know what's the main cause of GERD? It's not food, it's not eating too much pickles or acid food. It's abdominal fat. Abdominal fat will compress the stomach up through towards the chest and will make our stomach to go through the hiatus. That is a connection that we have between the chest or the thorax and the abdomen, and will promote this disease that we call GERD. And the main cause is abdominal fat. There are other causes. I mean, constipation also will do that, because if you have if your intestines will not work, I mean, it will increase the pressure upwards. Okay, kidney problem, gallstones problem, osteoarthritis, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and high cholesterol, hypertension, inflammation, coagulopathy. So you have a problem with thick blood once you are fat. Okay, so I should stop at 12. Oh, so we have plenty of time. Let's go back here. So the respiratory problems with children is asthma, increased wheezing, and then the lung development health. And here we have the prevention. In fact, the prevention is please lose weight. Even if you don't lose weight, but you start exercising, you will increase, you improve that. In 2006, there was a girl, 3 years old, that died in England because of obstruction of the superior airways due to being overweight. So she was sleeping, and then the airways were obstructed, and she simply died. They want to put the family on prison for that. It was a big mess. I put here a phrase that I learned last week. I never used that before. But it's called forest bathing or bathing. Forest bathing. I didn't even know how to pronounce that. What's that? The guys that were in my cancer.
You're having a bath.
I have a bath in the forest.
Sounds like a great idea.
Well, I mean, I think we could do better. Where are my guys from the cancer? You forgot about that. Huh? Is just going to a forest and stay in the forest, and then you are gonna breathe the air from the forest. The air from a forest have properties that are healing to the lungs. And what we figured out is that in this study that we present in the cancer seminar, there was it was made in Japan, and they measured the NK cell amount once they went to forest bathing. And NK is natural killer cell, is the one that kill cancer cells and kill bacteria and kill other things. So this group went to the forest, and then this group went to the city in Tokyo. And they measure after they went to both places. And when they went to the forest, the natural killer cell increased its activity, increased its capacity to kill cells, and it increased the amount of natural killer cells in the circulation. Just staying in the forest. They stay two days in the forest. 1 day walking, and then they slept there and camping, and then they stay one more day. So what? And the effects last for 1 week. So it means that...
So it's like any woods that you go?
Any woods that you go. So I would say we should go once a week to a forest.
Take our Sabbath afternoon walk.
Yeah, you go for it. But it's just something interesting that God put in the right places and we are living in the wrong place. But if we are living in the wrong place, please try to get to the right place once in a while. And take your kids to that for Christ's sake. Take your kids to these places and for them to enjoy. Instead of going to Disneyland and Disney World and all these entertainment parks that will not give anything to the kids and full of McDonald's, by the way. Take them, please, to the beach, to the forest, to the mountains. That's where we should bring our kids. Okay, low self-esteem. So this is the problem with weight, according to what the peers perceive them. So we have higher dropout rates, we have the stigmatism, we have lower rates of marriage among overweight kids or adolescents or youth. So we have prevention here to do something, but prevention is this prevention is late, huh? What we have to do again is to go there and try to make a difference before they become like that. Depression is also common in overweight people. So increased interaction, participation in team sports, active participation in individual surrounding. So I have some examples of what they did to overcome this with some behavioral techniques. We will go there. High blood pressure. Again, I'm not going to spend much time here, but just mention here, 5 to 100 children have higher than normal blood pressure. So this is very troublesome here. You see, we have children today that they are giving diuretics or beta blockers or whatever to control blood pressure. We have children that we are giving Lipitor. Can you believe that? Lipitor is a drug for cholesterol that we use for adults over 60. Used to. Well, for you to have an idea, I have one guy that works with the bariatric center of the hospital, Kaiser Permanente Hospital in Fontana, California. He said that he has kids with 9-0 of BMI. You know what 9-0 is? You might be as wide as you are high, as you are tall.
Square.
It might be a square person. Can you believe that? It's terrible what is happening out there. And most of the kids are Hispanics. So, anyways, is childhood obesity a child abuse situation?
Yes.
It's something for us to think. For us to think. Prevention starts at home. So, we will talk about that. Why does it happen? I think we don't need to talk much, but... By kindergarten, children spend more than 5,000 hours of television, starting with that. Then what is happening with our food? So I have some statistics here that is very interesting. So one Big Mac has about 664 kilocalories. To burn it, doing different type of exercise, you need how much time of exercise? You need 82 minutes playing basketball. Or 177 minutes playing cycling. Based on these pounds expenditure for kilocalories per minute expenditure. So then we need to play football for 85 minutes. You need to swim for 88 minutes, and you know you have to walk for more than 2 hours. It's a lot of walk, huh? And to counteract just that, but think about that. They use that. They put the fries and they put a soda, and then an ice cream or two Big Macs. And they have all the calories that they will not be able to even to burn these. Is almost impossible. And the worst of this is that the nutrients of that are very minimal. They have maybe the protein and the rest is carbohydrates and fat. So you don't have antioxidants, you don't have vitamins A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, K, whatever. They don't have that. And so what are we doing? What is it? Do you call this food? So that's our fight against McDonald's. I'll mention something that we are doing in Loma Linda against McDonald's, and we are losing the battle, but we are... You saw in the news, yeah? So we are there, but it's not easy. Okay, now I have a time for you to participate. The second case study. So, an elementary public school in a poor neighborhood asks your church to develop an after-school program to help their kids' health. Because they are getting obese, and then what would be your suggestion? So now I want you to talk. What would you advise? What would you plan? What would be the first step? Go ahead. That's a crucial point. So just following you on that. Exercising the curriculum, that's basic. But a couple of years ago, they increased the curriculum of schools, elementary and high school in the United States, and then they increased the time, and there will be more time for PE. You know what they did? They put math, they put algebra, they put science, and the PE was left out. So would be interesting if at least in the afternoon, because what is happening with after-school programs is that it's not getting exercise in many of them. They are putting a mentoring for math, mentor for science, mentoring for English, and PE is gone again. My goodness, Grace, what's going on? So exercise in the curriculum may be exercise after. So other suggestion? That's a good idea. Great. I heard that there is something like that outdoor classroom that they do math and they do math in the court, and then they can learn how to do that with games and things. Excellent. Go ahead. That's what happened all across the country. You go to college. There is a college in San Bernardino, Cal State San Bernardino, that gets money from Budweiser. Guess what? The carts that go around the school are all Budweiser. You don't even need to publish that to announce that. But I mean, they have problem with alcohol accidents there. They have problem with alcohol behavior there. But who cares? The money is coming from the alcohol company. Praise the Lord. My goodness, it's a blasphemy. But no, this is college. Cal State is a university. Yeah, not because college, high school is still illegal. Alcohol is illegal until 18 in many states, and there is some states that are 21, I heard. But anyways, anything else for this?
Big bowl of fruit.
So cut down on the junk food and put more fruits available. Vending machines with fruits, great. We are doing something at that. I mean, there are some places in the country that are increasing the school lunch. Yeah. Anybody else? Because we are going to move forward. Go ahead.
You suggested it's for
in school. In school, yeah.
After school, probably
sport.
Transport program. Uh-huh. After school, when they have to maybe compete against each other, and then that will force them to move.
You know what is the problem with sports in this country? We use the guys that are good. The guys that are bad, forget about them. And it should be a program that include all of these over 8 kids that are not good, that they cannot run, but put them together, no matter what, and involve everything and make competitions with everything, no matter if you are the best. Because the sports, unfortunately, in the country are tailored for college and for NBA athletes. We are preparing, this is the good, let's make a team, let's play, and let's put them in the league, and then second league, and then we'll be professionals. He's all screwed up and left. Yeah, he's not healthy. And then most of the athletics, you have another problem there, are involved with drugs, as steroids and amphetamines and all of this mess. I remember there was a lady whose daughter was a very good Olympic gym athlete. She was growing up, but she was very good on that. And she was considered for the Olympic team in the United States. And she started training. When she came back one day from the training, she has a list of things that she had to do. And then she has Tylenol. That was okay. And then she has some other. And it was a list of almost 10 medications. And the mother would look at this and say, "What's that?" Well, she went to talk to the coach. And he said, "Well, you know, she is not drugs, you know, this is just supplements for her, because when she trains, she might feel a little pain. She might increase the inflammation. She might have this, so she has to take this to protect the joints, to increase the muscle, to decrease the pain, to overcome the stress, the muscle stress." You know what the lady did? Took off from the team. She forget about that. "I don't want to have an artificial daughter here, a world champion artificial daughter." So that's the situation. Okay, let's move. Let's talk about behavior. What are the behaviors that are most likely to have an impact? Increased PE participation, you already mentioned. Increased recreational physical activity. Decreased television viewing at home. Decreased video computer games. Maybe not. The good thing here is that they are inventing the Wii. That we can play with things like that. Even though I don't feel that this is enough exercise, you do like that. And it looks like it's good exercise for old people. But not for kids. There is something good. They can develop good things. There is a bike. I saw two things with that bike. First, the bike that you pedal, and then you have to go over the obstacles. But if you stop pedal, your bike will stop, and then you don't go anywhere. So you have to continue pedaling. So that's a good one. The other one is a bike that is connected to a TV or a computer. And then while you are pedaling, you have energy. If you stop pedaling, everything stops. So it's a generator that they put in their bike. So you have to pedal to have, and that it helps some kids. So if they do that, they will save a lot of energy, a lot of light, and the kids will do exercise. And maybe we will do. Imagine if you sit on the couch to watch TV, but you have to pedal, otherwise the TV is not going to work. So you do something. Overweight, decreased physical activity, and then you gain weight, and then further decrease physical activity, and then you become more overweight, and then you create a cycle, and you have to break this cycle. So what we have to do at home with parents and family, it has to start with when the lady is pregnant. Because, go ahead.
Is it possible to come to the previous slide?
Yeah.
This one, please.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm going to talk about the NOx, okay? But we have to start when the mother is pregnant, because today we know that if a mother has an overweight child when it's born, or a low birth weight child, is going to affect their weight in the future. So all streams are going to go in trouble. Then we have breastfeeding. If the mother does not breastfeed the kid, more likely to have obese kids in the house. Sorry about that. You're welcome. So parents have to become role models, and that's a message for you here. Emphasize problem-solving strategies rather than information giving. We are health educators, health specialists, doctors, physicians, whatever. We are good in providing information. Hey, this is what happened to childhood obese. You have to bring solutions for them. You have to bring them to offer solutions sometimes. But you have to bring some structure, not just giving them the thing and forget. You have to give something and say, well, sit with the person and say, well, what is their situation here? And so I remember I have one guy that needs to do exercise, and then he came to my office and said, I don't have money to pay the gym, I don't have time to go to the gym, and I cannot do the exercise. What is your suggestion? Then I asked him, do you have kids? Yeah, I have an 8 and a 10 years old. Do you have time for the kids? Yeah, kind of. So buy a ball and play 1 hour per day with your kids, and you don't need to go to a gym. Sometimes we have an idea that exercise is walking and doing something in the gym with weightlifting, and it's not there. I brought some example for you. Well, buy one thing like that. Okay? This is, it costs, if you buy one like that, it costs maybe $5. Okay? $5. But you don't need to be that sophisticated. Sometimes sophisticated complicates your life, as it is now. But we should put our kids back to this type of thing, because this is something that we need to practice more. What I'm doing with this is that I bring that in my backpack, and then every time during the day, if I have some time, I will do something on that. I mean, a couple of seconds you do that, and then you can, if you are sleeping, I see some of you sleeping, you should do, that's the time for you to do some of these things. But simple things that we should do during our day, and that we should bring our kids for influence our kids. Weight loss programs are rarely successful. So that's a problem here. Why? Because the diets are unsustainable. Nobody can follow those diets. Healthy lifestyles provide added benefits. Some people come to me and say, well, I want to do a crash diet because I need to lose 30 pounds. And then I ask why. Well, because I have this wedding and I have this party and I have to go to the beach in the end of the year, whatever. In Brazil, it's the end of the year. Here is in the middle of the year. But I tell them, you are going to lose this weight, but you are going to gain it back. So whatever you do, my suggestion is go here and develop a lifestyle. Start with a lifestyle. Start with your daily exercise. Control your sugar intake. Go lower on that. Have a good lifestyle. Once you are following a good lifestyle for 6 months at least, so you are doing okay, then if you want to do a crash diet, I'll go with you. So you can do Nutrisystem, Medifast, Optifast, Jenny Craig, whatever. Then you do that for 3 months or 2 months. Then you might lose that. Then you go back to your lifestyle. Because if you don't do so, you are not doing anything. Because you are going to gain your weight again. Because you don't have a home to go back. You see? I used to work in the prison. And I keep telling this to my kids, to my inmates there. You go out of the prison, where are you going? It's, go to my... I push them, you have to move away from here. Oh my God, I cannot... Well, you are going to go to the same environment that you were. You are endangering your life. Because the guys will not accept that you change. I'm not a gangbanger anymore. Huh? But... if you have weight, I mean, and then you don't have a lifestyle, it doesn't help. Lifestyle will help even though you don't lose weight. The majority of U.S. population is at risk, so we already talked about that. Prevention will cost less over the long run. So if you need to put some money at first to buy new shoes, or to buy new shorts, or to buy one of these, $5... You can get any rope that you can find. Yeah, I like the rope that are a little heavy. It's better for us to jump. The one that are too light, it's good for the kids, but for us it's kind of hard. At least depends on your size. If you are short, is okay. For me, it has to be like that. I will skip that one. Let's see. We taking you off smoking, drinking, and rich food. What else do you enjoy? That's the problem with kids. It looks like we are taking off things. But I would say, children, they don't like... Children do not like broccoli. Sorry about the English here. Adults do not like it too. And then children will enjoy. If you do a food tasting, that's one of the things that we advise. I think Katya mentioned about that already. That do more activities that kids will participate, will taste that, do competition that kids can prepare something and then they can taste. Once they taste something, you will be surprised that they will eat even broccoli. Because if you put some seasoning that broccoli tastes a little bad, they will eat that. And even you will eat that. So it's something, I put even this thing, if they participate in a cultivation, as Dr. Botting mentioned here, it would be more motivating for them to change, to accept these things. Now I will talk about one study that was done in among Mexican American children. It was published in this pediatrics here. This guy here is John Forrett. John Forrett is the top guy in terms of behavior change for weight control in the world and in the United States. So he's a guy that promotes this, and he has statistics that behavior change will work in the long run. And what he used here, so in this thing, the children that participate in this program for 6 months, they decrease the BMI, they decrease cholesterol, they decrease the LDL. So it was 60 children that they participate, and 40 children in the behavior change, and 20 children in a control. And most of the children were overweight, around 25 BMI. Nutrition classes, what they have there? They did nutrition class 1 a week, exercise class 4 times a week, and they have meeting with the parents once a month. Whatever you do for the children, remember, is not the children's problem. You cannot fix this problem focused on the children. It has to be the family. It has to be the mother. Mostly the mother involved. And if you want a better success, involve the father too. Okay, so what they did. In terms of foods, they divide the food in 3 groups. The safety zone, like fruits and non-starch veggies. So those are safety to eat. Caution zone means go slow on that. Low-fat meat, low-fat dairy and starches. In the danger zone, everything that has more than 5 grams of fat per serving or 15 grams of sugar per serving, stop. Wait. And they have more classifications and they have more stuff. But they get the kids and they promote this and they have cards and they have games that they play with the kids and the kids were getting rewards for that. They have bi-weekly quizzes, they have, they have a reward system that they get points if they eat new fruits, they have, if they are met the individual goals on the program goals, and then they will have prize after that. They also monitor their own activity, their own physical activity, their own food intake, their sedentary behavior and their weight. And they have exercise with skill training. So they would. So you want to push the kids to play basketball, you don't put them in the court and shoot the ball, whatever. They will train them what are the techniques that they use the best to improve their skills to play that kind of sport. Question?
About the 15 grams of sugar and the 5 grams of fats, that's only for children?
It can apply for adults too.
Also,
yeah, that's a good. I would say less than 10 grams of sugar. That less than 10 grams of sugar is better than 15. Even though I would say that it's better to use 0 grams of sugar. But it's, sometimes you have a food, you have to choose. There are some food that are natural sugar in content, and there are food that artificial sugar content, that they put sugar on it. So natural food content, you can handle until 15 grams of sugar if it's from apple or whatever.
Okay,
let's go for an environment. I hope I can finish this on time. So we talk a little bit about home and school, and then we might talk a little bit about the community, what the community can do, and what the church can do. We talk a little bit about home, school, and child care, but is there an influence from the environment that we can influence, that we can affect? As the intake of fruits and vegetables decrease, the number of convenience stores and fast food restaurants increase. So if we have more McDonald's close to your neighborhood, you most likely will eat less fruits and vegetables. So that's what they are finding in this study here. The other study here, that residents without supermarkets in the neighborhood are 25 to 46 less likely to have healthy diets than those who live close to a high supermarket density area. Yesterday we talked about Walmart, but Walmart is a good thing still. Because I went to this Walmart here and they have tons of vegetables there. At least they have that. And they are comparing this supermarket, Walmart, Super Walmart, compared to those small stores that you have in your neighborhood that just sell what? Sugar stuff, alcohol, and alcohol, and some white bread. I don't know how is it in Brazil, but the small supermarkets were amassed. They decrease in size, but they decrease in quality also. If they were smart, they could start selling things that are healthy, and maybe people will be attracted to that.
Except that they don't know, the owners.
The owners don't know. And they said a lot, and they sell a lot of cigarettes. And other trash that I cannot even enter sometimes in those stores, because they have so much trash and so much magazines that you should not even look at this. And so, who is going to... It's supposed to be a family... community neighbor friendly store. My goodness, Grace. What's happening there? Okay. Children with high BMI who live closer to convenience stores, they have more weight when they live close to those fast foods. When there is a lack of supermarkets again, children will be high BMI if the McDonald's is closed. Children will have high BMI if the supermarkets are far away, if they don't have a way to buy those things. And this is an interesting study that was done in East LA. About fast food, and so they went to an area of East LA. How many of you know East LA from here? Yeah, so it's where they have most of the Hispanics living there, and so they surrounded an area from that, and then they found in that neighborhood in East LA, they found 62 grocery stores and 93 fast foods stores in that region. So they found that there were 58 fast foods in a walking distance from the school, but only 4 grocery stores with quality fruits and vegetables for fresh. Only 4. So you can imagine that where the kids are going to go for snacks if they have a break. Another case study. Just another. I don't give breaks, so if you wanna go to the bathroom, you better go. But this is supposed to be the break. This is one of my patients. So she's a medical student, about 20 some years old, BMI 35. BMI 35. What does it mean?
Obese.
So 29.9 to 29.9 is overweight. 25 to 29.9. Then over 30 is obese. So she was obese, obese, African American, chubby since childhood. She exercised every day. She lost 20 pounds in the last 6 months, but now she reached the plateau and still is with this BMI and cannot do anything. Extremely stressed, extremely messy with her diet. 1 week she is doing good, another she is relapsing. Short sleep time. Now she is going with yo-yo diet, lose 10 pounds, then gain 10 pounds, then lose 10 pounds, but she keep coming to my office. Because sometimes this kind of patient will not show up. They give up on you. She didn't give up on me, and I don't give up on her. What would be your advice for a kid like that? He's still a kid.
Change her to a whole plant diet.
She is vegan. She is vegan. She is 100% vegan, but
processed food.
Yeah, it might be. That's the problem. You see, vegan might not help if you eat a lot of junk. Sugar is a vegan food. Don't forget that.
No processed
food. Whole grain
breakfast. I think the problem is not that. But let's go. I think the problem is not that. Because she knows that, but how I tell this to her, and she still don't do it. And then...
Well, I was thinking of, if you don't have proper sleep, everything's out of balance.
Do you know any medical students that have a proper sleep?
No.
Even in Loma Linda, they are dosed with caffeine, even in Loma Linda. So, but I'm not challenging, but we know today that lack of sleep will raise the weight because of
meal plan.
Proper water.
Yeah.
And she's not going out grabbing. She needs
and eating between meals.
Yeah, but still we have a problem because she knows those things. We have a different problem here in terms of acknowledge. She's a medical student, Adventist since she was born. No, she is vegan. So she knows that all of this she knows. The problem is between knowledge and practice. And then what we can do between knowledge and practice. You are going to have those challenges, but that's the situation. Go ahead.
She seems to have low self-esteem.
Yeah. Is this a cause or a consequence?
Consequence.
Yeah. It's a circle. It became a circle, but it might be a consequence mostly. Yeah. But what do you do with that? She's trying to lose weight to improve that.
She wants to check the thyroid.
She's what? I didn't get.
Check the thyroid.
Oh, check the thyroid. Well, I think yeah, this could be something for her to do. But the thyroid and obesity is very small amount of people. Maybe 1 or 2% that will have a thyroid problem. It's not the rule. But that's one thing that she could do. But what the challenge here is that the knowledge. Don't give me more knowledge, okay? Don't give me. It's not going to help. Because she knows.
She needs a spiritual.
Okay. She is Adventist since born, I mean. But it might be that she needs a little more support. And then the spiritual support is one. And then maybe we are running a program for weight control right now. Yesterday we have in my church, and we are forming a support group. So if you want to help people with obesity, childhood obesity, adulthood obesity, obesity in your community, start a support group. Start a support group. This is the main thing that you could do, and then you can involve the spiritual part. You can involve the social part. You have peer, a little more influence. You will increase her self-esteem because she will feel in an environment that people support. So that is something that can help.
Does
go
she
ahead.
Have the full plate diet book?
I don't wanna talk about content anymore because she has enough knowledge Excuse me. I respect that. But it's not knowledge. Please, it's not knowledge. Most of people that is with overweight, they know more about diet than you and than me. Fiber. They can eat fiber and fiber and fiber. How many people? I have one guy that went to the CHIP program and then he lost weight. And he has a lot of fiber in his diet, and he lost all the weight, and I found him now doing bariatric. The problem is not knowledge.
It's
how to... Because if she is not doing these things, she is not going to do the fiber diet. Because she is doing something.
The fiber diet program, you get in you have support within the group if you do the...
Oh, okay, so you are talking about a support group.
Yes. Yeah.
I think it's not the diet, it's the support. I agree. Now I agree. Because it's not knowledge. Please, don't take me wrong. I'm not upset with you, but it's not knowledge for these people. It's not knowledge. It's practice. What can we do to help them to practice what they know? That's a good point. That's a good point. It might be in the root of the problem. Maybe the stress is causing it. Don't go. You have to talk. Okay. So it might be this. This might be the case. On this line, maybe she does. When you focus on the wrong goal, you don't go forward. She might need to focus on the homework, as I mentioned, the lifestyle.
She may need to
tackle
one problem first.
Exactly. And focus on one thing that is important and prioritize it and then get the support that she needs.
Check her vitamin D level?
Check her vitamin D. That's another thing. She might need to do that. Yeah, that's a good one. She's black. Yeah, she might have a lower. Yeah. That's a good one. I mean, thyroid and vitamin D, two things. I'm going to take this to her, because why not?
What part does genetics play in all of this?
Genetics, yeah. Genetics play... Yeah, I don't remember that. That's why I don't remember if she has parents on that. So another thing I have to check. So you got a good point. But most of these cases, the genetic is about 10%. Mostly 20%.
Campbell study said 2-3%.
Yeah, I am 2-3% in general, but in some cases, individual cases, you might have a strong. It affects the dogs also. This is what the scientists say. So, is genetic influence is about 10-20%. That's what they said. But if we go by Ellen White, she said even if you inherit something, if you change your lifestyle, you might revert the disease that that you inherit. So,
turning your genes.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she is being crazy about exercise again. This she is doing something. She's not that bad. I think the problem with her is that she is inconstant. When she does that for 2 months, and then since she traveled to her family in Boston, and then she messed up there. Yeah.
Influenced by whoever she's around. If she has somebody that's good that she goes every day.
Yeah.
That would really help her.
That could be. Okay. Thank you. We have good time here. We have some discussion here, but. Yeah, that's the same thing.
She goes away, and if she comes back, she goes yo-yo. So what's going on at home? So maybe an environment...
The family could not be overweight. The family could not be overweight, but the family... Because that's another problem with childhood obesity. Don't think you can do a diet for a kid that will go home and there is a lot of junk at home for other kids, but this one cannot eat the junk. It has to be... unjunked the home. The whole family has to be unjunked. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Think about that. It's not a problem with the child. Okay, so we are going to go back. So let's talk about... you want to say something? Go ahead. So Then we go again to the spirituals. You guys mentioned about the spiritual. Include the spirituality on that. We have a problem with that. You know why? I'll get there. Then she will go to the pastor and then ask for advice for the pastor. And then she sat in the pastor's office and the pastor is this size. and then, you know, it's the same that you go to a doctor to stop smoking and the doctor is a smoker or whatever. So. Okay, let's continue here with the environment. We should reduce barriers to change risk behaviors. So you have to promote more exercise indoors versus outdoors if the neighborhood is unsafe. Because you might find people that say, I cannot let my kids outside because it's too dangerous outside. It's gangbangers and drugs and whatever. You still have your time if you pass. Okay. Here they put dancing. Dancing is complicated for our Brazilians, but I don't know what's happening with the... I am from South. We are not allowed to do our dances, and then when we go to the general conference, they ask us to dance our traditional dances there. So, okay. What's the problem there? So, I believe there is dancing and there is... because the square dance that they use in America that we get in a group and then we just go around, and I think there is this is exercise. Maybe the close dance that you do and it is a little too tight and too romantic and then the lambada, salsa, whatever, might be that's not a good... But we could have different one. But I will not go against your culture. Respect that. But... think about some kind of activities or games that the kids could do that is not that's exercise that they should go back to. Well, I will go on that. Let me finish that. Family meal time. Healthy meals with the family. There is enough research that if kids eat the most family kids they have, they lower their weight. The less family meals that they have, the higher the weight. So, parents monitor their child's diet and play outside with children. So this is already mentioned about spending time with the children. So this is the problem in the school. I'm not going to talk about that, but change the school environment we already discussed. Another case study. 75% of parents with overweight kids ignore the problem. Just ask Johnny Boy. Johnny Boy is a little chubby. 80-95 percentile for BMI. Mother was normal weight, but willing to do something about that, helping Johnny. But the father is the problem. He is overweight, don't want to talk about weight, don't want to do anything to change it, and he wants just to eat whatever and do whatever. Is there a chance to help Johnny? Not much. Move away from the house. I didn't get what she said.
To change his father before.
That would not be... that would, yeah, okay. It's abstract change. But what else we could do on that?
The mother is very...
The mother can be very effective. That's a good one. The mother has a key.
You have to work with the father, and then he will change his father.
Okay. So, you see what he said? You work with the mother work with the boy, and the boy was helping. We might be able to help the parent. That's a good one. Anything else?
I think the mom is the key person. When they go buy groceries, she buys proper groceries and she makes sure she cooks herself. Because that's the main problem. Whenever children eat out a lot, that's the main problem. Dad is not something else. But if she is buying, she buys what's proper. If the dad wants to go out kill himself, let him do that.
Yeah.
But the child, she can control the child.
That's very, very, very true. What is the main secret of changing a food behavior?
Don't eat out.
Huh? Well, don't eat out is one, but there is a main secret on that. Decision, okay, but there is another main secret, please.
Availability.
Availability. Well, you have. We have to have a class on that.
What's the
thank you very much. You didn't pay attention to that. We have to know what we have to prepare the food that is appealing, that is delicious, that is saborous. If we don't do that, nobody's gonna eat that. Mostly the father here. He might eat something if you make some stuff and they say, oh, it's not that bad. Sometimes they will eat that and you don't tell them what's that. And they say, well, that's good. Thank you. So, the secret of changing diets, whatever diet is preparing or buying with a flavor, with a smell, with a taste. You want to say something? Do you guys heard about Chef Oliver? I think it's Oliver his name. It's this British chef that came to America. And he came to a high school, to an elementary school. And then he brought a truck full of fat. I don't know where he got this fat. And he said, this is the amount of fat that you are eating here in this school per year.
Ooh.
This is tons of fat and people are, the kids and the mothers are surrounded. What? And then he brought a tomato. And then he asked the kids, what's that? The kids didn't know what was that. Then he got a ketchup. And then he showed, what's that? Oh, ketchup. Where the ketchup comes? They didn't know. They didn't know that ketchup were made by tomato. He brought potatoes. And he asked them, what is a potato? And the kids said, I don't know. And then he showed French fries and said, oh, French fries. Didn't know that potato, French fries came from potatoes. So, and then he brought broccoli. They never heard about that. This is from Mars. This is a alien food. Who is going to eat this thing? Or maybe a flower, not for eating. So, and then his secret was promoting. He was in Los Angeles last time. He has a fight with a school district there because they don't want to put a TV on that. Because the TV will show how bad the diet was in the school district. And then he is open up. He will speak up against everything. And he will promote this kid to eat, promote a good appetizing type of food for them. Okay, so I have to finish this. We have 15 minutes. Huh? Keep there. Don't go home. Is 12 or 12:30? Okay, so most of the things that we have to affect in terms of childhood obesity are here. We have to affect the legislation, if you can, the media, the environment, as we mentioned, the food supply, the community, the healthcare system, school or work site, and then we go to the family and the individual. All of these, I mean, the most important is here, the decision, as you mentioned, is here, no doubts about that. But it's very hard to decide something and have all of these pressures on you. So that's what we are saying now. And then I'm going to talk about the McDonald's in Loma Linda. We are fighting against a restaurant that came there, and then it looks like it was approved. We lost the battle. But it was interesting that even pastors sided with McDonald's. I can't believe on that. The pastor there said, well, it's embarrassing for our church to be against McDonald's. Excuse me. Why are you saying that? Because we should not be in the business to mandate what people should eat. I don't care what you are going to eat. I care about my children. I care about the children that are being influenced for that they don't have a power to decide. Even if you teach them, their friends are full of McDonald's toys and McDonald's this and this and this. They are acculturated to that because McDonald's is a culture. They are selling, and I'll show you a lot of that. This is what the pastor said. But fortunately, we have physicians and public health faculty that oppose to the idea of fast food, and then we are fighting against that. To side with the McDonald's is to do what they is to see what they are doing here. In San Francisco, they decided that McDonald's should not give toys with food because they are trying to convert the kids. So what happened? The McDonald's went around and said, "Well, we are gonna send, we are gonna sell for 10 cents each and give to a charity the money." And they did, like that. And then the guy have the courage to say that is all about the toys, not about the food. Excuse me. This looks like the same thing about Joe Camel. It's not about smoking, it's about a cartoon. That's a joke. I mean, it's all about a Ronald McDonald clown. Other cities have banned fast food restaurants in the United States before, like San Luis Obispo. The Vanderbilt University just finished its contract with McDonald's, and they are going to Panera Bread or another restaurant that is a little better. Has junk food there, but at least has a balance. McDonald's is does not have a balance. There is another, one guy called me after that, and in Florida, one island, a city island in Florida, well, we are in Florida, so in one of these islands, they banned McDonald's, and then McDonald's was not, any junk food was not able to enter in their city.
Well, what's the difference between Mama Linda drinking all that caffeine and McDonald's?
Well, the fight is general, because the university didn't side with us. So this is university, you know. I work in the university. I call my boss. I call everybody. So let's go in that silence. No, we cannot meet with you. So we have to go against the university. Okay. No doubts about that. But the university does not sell coffee. This is these medical students that are drinking coffee. So we are not selling coffee. All coffee that we have there is known is decaf coffee, mostly.
Which has caffeine in it.
Yeah, mostly. But the fight is against the university also. I mean, we have to improve our cafeteria food. And if you go to Loma Linda, you see that we have more. And again, we cannot be. I mean, extremists on that. And because this McDonald's here, our main fight is to have a balance for people to choose. If you just have junk food, you don't have choice. But you have to have options for them to choose. So as we lost the battle against McDonald's, we are going to fight again that they have to have a healthy menu. The Happy Meal has to be changed. Happy Meal is a burger, French fries, a soda, and what else? And a toy.
Yeah, they have apple sauce and apple juice.
Yeah, but you see, I mean, this is not healthy meal. It's a happy meal. Okay.
McDonald's.
That's interesting.
It does sell little apple bits, and they get salad.
So they have some, but who ate them? Who eat them? All councilmen, that's something interesting. All councilmen are Seventh-day Adventists, most of them vegetarians. None of them will eat a McDonald's, but they want to respect the freedom of choice. So I respect that. Loma Linda has four junk food restaurants, and Loma Linda has a cafeteria, as you mentioned, that sells some junk there. The problem here for us is not against McDonald's specific or against the people. Our fight is to provide in the only blue zone that we have in North America or in the Western world, that is Loma Linda, something healthy. I mean, you come to Loma Linda expecting that, well, these guys have good things here. And then the first thing you see is golden arches. That's not make sense. Well, we have even an alcohol store and a tobacco store in the city. So our fight is bigger than just junk food. So we are giving you the picture, the general picture. It's not just that. The problem is kids. Adults can make their choice, but the influence upon the children is zero and unfair. So this is what happened in McDonald's. This is what happened in McDonald's. This is what happens in McDonald's. This is what happens in McDonald's, and this is what happens in McDonald's. So there is a campaign to put down the clown in several states, in several cities, Burlington, Portland, New York, and Portsmouth. They are trying to get a retired Ronald McDonald clown. Yeah, the interesting thing is that in Loma Linda, we don't offer meat in our cafeteria. But if the patient requires meat, we will serve them. So it's we give meat to the patients only. But anyways, I don't work in the hospital, and this is another business. But at least we are able to form this, the Healthy City Loma Linda Coalition. And then we are working with the city council. We are working with the city planners to do something about that in the city ordinance, to promote a little more. So we have to go to the church here. This is one of the most important. The new trend is to change the internal culture. In corporations, the best way to change behaviors is to change not having vending machines, not promoting junk food, not having access to those things. But how about our churches? We cannot promote health because we need to talk. We need to walk health. We need to walk the talk. I was invited to promote a health program for our community in a church in Southern California. And then I went to a potluck in that church. They have fried food, cheese, chicken, a huge cake, ice cream, and cookies. I told the pastor, we have to start an internal program first.
Exactly.
How can I go to the community and tell a message that you are not practicing here? He never called me again. So we need to have exclusive, I think another thing, I heard the pastor, and I already talked to the North American Division, Katia, about that. She said that they are concerned about that. But in the sermon, the president of General Conference, you take wherever you can take that, said that at the end of this world, will stay the health message. The other ministries will go away. So why don't we put the health message in the right place?
Good question.
Now, let me just finish that. Why the health directors in the churches are not valued? Why the health? Why we have a health director in the conference that takes care of ministries, Sabbath school, pastoring, and sometimes it's the pastor that have three or four churches and plus health ministry. So do we believe on that? So that's something we have to walk the talk. Health director is the union division. So we should put a person there if we think that this is really to promote health in the community, to promote health in the church, and the right arm for evangelism. If we don't do so, we are not walking the talk. So that's my opinion. We want to fix childhood obesity. We have to clean up our home first. So now you have a question.
I just go back to the...
When I was working in Hong Kong, they asked us, I was the director of health promotion, to serve ice cream to the staff. And then I said, well, how can I serve ice cream? I mean, it's immoral for me. Yeah. So I have the champion juicer, and then I froze the bananas and strawberries, and I produced that frozen ice cream made with fruits. Then we have two booths. One was the president of the hospital serving normal ice cream. And in my booth was myself and my team. We have a big line in our side, and we have two guys in the president's booth. So just for you to know, if you promote something that is good and that is healthy and good and healthy, they will go for it. One is not just a conference. It's the church, local church. In my church, we have four pastors for children's ministry. We have one pastor for mentorship. We have a visiting member, one or two pastors. We have seven or eight pastors in that church. It's 7,000 members, okay? 6,000 members. We have the health ministry in the church is me. I'm not paid. I'm not in the books. But how much money do I... I'm fighting with them to have a budget. Zero. Zero. So what's going on there? And then, we are against McDonald's. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no, we favor McDonald's. So, this is the situation across the world, okay? So, if we are speakers for health, but we have to start being vocal on that. And so you are here, presidents and representative of your church. We must walk the talk. The main message to prevent childhood obesity in our church and community is this one. Thank you very much.
This media was produced by Audioverse for the NAD Health Summit. If you would like to learn more about the NAD Health Summit, please visit www.nadhealthsummit.com. Or if you would like to listen to more free online sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.